chapter 4. Verse 2 from Mark 4, it says, "And he taught them many things by parables." Mark chapter 4, verse 2. "He taught them many things by parables." Our Lord, it says, look at verse 34. Look over verse 34. It says, "Without a parable spake he not unto them." Everything he spoke was in parables. "Without a parable he spoke not unto them." Now, why is that? Why did our Lord speak in parables? Now, a parable is an earthly story, a very common illustration of things on this earth, but the parable has a spiritual meaning behind it. He uses earthly things to illustrate truth. All right, that's what a parable is. Why did our Lord speak in parables? Well, he said, verses 10 through 12, he said this. They asked him that, verse 10. When he was alone, they asked him of the parable. In another gospel, it said, it is written that they asked him, "Lord, why are you speaking in parables?" And he said unto them, look at verse 11 and 12. He said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." In other words, he's going to tell them what the parable. They didn't know what the parable meant either. They didn't know. Those doctors and lawyers, they didn't know. And these fishermen sure didn't know. But he's going to tell them. And he said, "Unto you it is given, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." That, now he's quoting Isaiah 6, "See, and they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them." So our Lord is saying here that the truth is hidden from everyone until he reveals it. You see that? Even the apostles didn't know until he told them. Salvation, you see, is by God's electing grace and revealing grace. God Almighty reveals the truth, reveals himself, who God is, reveals us, ourselves, reveals Christ, who he is, the gospel, to whom he will. And this is just the truth. He chooses whom he will to reveal the truth to whom he will. This is the truth, because the scripture says it's not by might, intellectual power, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And 1 Corinthians says the same thing. It says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. He can't know them. It says the world by wisdom knew not God. The wisest men. And God did this on purpose to confound the wise, he said. And aren't you glad that it's like this? Huh? What if only the wise and the intellectual could understand God? That'd leave me out. Wouldn't it, you? It'd leave out the common man. And the wise and the intellectual could glory in the fact that they know and they understand, and you don't. And no flesh is going to glory. See, God gets out of glory. You see why? That's important. Everything's important. All right, so he spoke in parables. Now, verse 13, he said this. Now, look at this. This is very important. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? If you don't know this parable, how are you going to know any parable? Sounds like this one's pretty important, then. You ever noticed that before? I haven't. First thing I've really noticed him saying that. How then will you know the rest of the parables? So this is very important. All right. Now listen to it. Not only must we know and understand this parable, the meaning of it, to have any understanding of anything else, but we need to examine ourselves. When you hear this parable, explain. Proclaim. We need to examine ourselves. May everyone in here, young and old, examine your own heart to see where you fit in this parable. Because everyone under the sound of this word this morning fits in this parable. Alright? Everyone in here fits in this parable. He's dealing with every person that's in here. You're in this parable. Alright, now let's look at it. Verse 14 is where he begins to explain the parable to his people. The sower soweth the word. The word. He said, behold, a sower that went out of sower to sow. It's like seed. You've sown grass seed, haven't you? Or a garden. Alright. This sower that he's talking about is someone who sows the word of God. Now, the sower, capital S, the capital S, the sower is Christ himself. He's even called the word. Right? It's his word. It's his. He's the seed, Brother John. He is the seed. And he's the soul. Spirit of God. The seed that he sows is his own word, his own voice. He said, my sheep are going to hear my voice, which is the word. The gospel, Peter said. This is the word. The gospel. Peter called it the incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said, this is how you're born spiritually. By the seed that is sown. This is how you're born of God. You're not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but you're born of God, and you're born by this word, and it's God himself who must plant it. Men don't plant the word in the hearts of people. They can't do it. That's not in man's power. All right? You must be born from above, Christ said. Born of God. Christ himself must place the seed within you. Now, again, this gives him all the glory, doesn't it? It gives him all the glory. No man can take credit, not one bit of credit for one human being that ends up in heaven. No, sir. But now listen to this. But our Lord in Ephesians said, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the ministry of the word, for the sowing of the word. And Paul, in his epistle, said, I plant, Apollos waters. In other words, we're in this ministry, he said. We've got this seed that the Lord has, Paul said, committed to my trust, this seed, this gospel. And he said, that's what I'm doing, sowing the word, sowing the word. Now, again, no man, I can't put one word in anybody's heart. Can't do it. Neither could Paul. When he said plant, he didn't mean that he actually could give salvation. No, sir. No, sir. He's got no sowing. You see. All right? And our Lord, now listen, our Lord said this about preachers of the word. Now, I'm a sower. That's what I'm doing this morning. And so in the world. Our Lord said this, he that heareth you, he said this to his preachers, he that heareth you, heareth me. If they don't, they're not going to hear from me, he may say, hear from you. That's what he said, didn't it? All right. So I say the word this morning, all right? The seed is being sown. I'm throwing this word out here. You're hearing it? Throwing the seed, the word of God. Throw it out there in the air. Where's it going to land? That's what this parable is about. Where does it land? Every person in here lands on it. You're under it. You'd have to use to hear it. Everybody in here's got two on their head. But not everybody in here's got one right here. Now the seed, if you have a garden or land you've sown grass on, whether or not that seed grows depends on what? Soil. Depends on soil, the type of ground. Depends on. This is what our Lord is saying. Now, the ground that he's dealing with here, upon which the seed is sown, is his heart, or the inner man. Not this. A lot of things go in right here. You go through this a little bit and go out there. And what this ground is the inner man, the heart. The condition of the heart is the whole issue in salvation. Our Lord said that. He said, out of the heart are the issues of life. All right. And now here again, the Lord gets all the glory because the preparation of the heart is of the Lord. He's the one that prepares the heart. He's the one, and the irony of it is that he uses this word to prepare the heart. This word is what works on the heart. All right? So God gets all the glory for preparation of the heart, whether or not the heart is receives the word or not, and we are to be blamed if there's that bad heart. We know that. All right, there's four types of hearers. I said that everyone in here is in this parable. Our Lord gives four types of ground here upon which the seed falls. And it's four hearts, or four hearers. Four types of hearers on which the word of God falls. And all four are in here this morning. I'm certain of that. All right. Verse 3. Let's look at it. Verse 3. Verse 3, he says, hearken. What's that mean? Listen. It all depends on this. Listen up. Behold. Listen and look. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse 15, he explains this. These are they, by the wayside, where the word is sown. By the wayside. By the wayside. These are they by the way side, not in the way. They're very near the way, but not in the way. You see that? They're by the way side, just outside. They're near, but not. We're close, but not far, but now, this word landed, this seed landed on that ground, didn't it? That's because they were very close. It was very close. The word did land, the seed did land. If I interchange, the seed did land on that ground, didn't it? but it had no effect on him. Everybody in here is hearing this message. All right? And now, I don't know who's in Christ and who's not. Pretty good idea of some, and pretty good idea of others or not, but I don't know. But you are in Christ or not. You can't straddle the spiritual fence. You believe you don't. You need Christ, you don't. You love the gospel, you don't. You need mercy, you don't. You either sinner, you're not. You either worship God, you don't. There's just no gray area there. All right, look at it. Well, by the way, that's important. Verse 4 says, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And it fell on this ground, and the fowls, the birds, came and devoured it. Picked at it. Took it away. Verse 15. He says, when they heard Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Scriptures talks much about Satan. And I know that these modern preachers have said so much about him that the modern world just poo-poos all talk of the devil and Satan and all that. It's just, they think it's the ignorant superstitions of religious, uneducated religious hillbilly preachers. Satan. This is the Son of God talking. And this person is real. And demons and so forth. Paul, he was probably the wisest and smartest man to ever live on this planet, other than Christ himself. Paul. That includes Solomon. Paul said, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, with principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what he said. There are forces at work right now. I know that sounds like out of some science fiction book, but it's so. This is not science fiction. It's truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he said there are forces at work when the gospel is being preached. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, Satan, I fear, has Satan beguiled Eve, that he should beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ. That Satan blinded their eyes. Satan comes in many forms and tricks away the word. It's the way to work. Because there's nothing he knows. He knows. He's seen what the Word of God does. This is the power of God. He has seen the Word of God, just the preaching of the gospel, take many people from him. His captives. That's Paul talks about captives of Satan. That all by nature are until Christ, the captain of their salvation, comes and rescues them. A greater, remember? He binds them there in chapter 6. Remember that? He comes and he, no, they're not yours, they're mine, Christ said. I'm taking them. And what does he do it with, Sam? What does he take them with? Right here. Sword of his spirit. Cords of his word. He takes them from him. Satan knows. He knows. His principal work is not in Billy Bob Barnett. In that devilish firewater called whiskey. He's got him now. That's not it. That's not where he does his principal work. It's sitting in the pew. Because this is where the power of God is. Right. In the pew where the Word of God is being preached. He knows that. And so he uses everything within his power and his craft and his wiles to keep folks from hearing that gospel. And the only way he can is if God allows him to do so. But now, if God Almighty has that sort of use for him, and he's going to work on a heart, there's nothing, come hell or high water, that's going to stop that word from working. Nothing Satan does is going to remove that word. Right now, it's a struggle for you to listen to what I'm saying. If I was standing up here right now singing a bluegrass song, you would absolutely, most of you, those that like bluegrass, let's put it that way, you would be on the edge, if I was good, you'd be on the edge of your seat and you'd just be your heart beat something. Oh, I love Ralph, Bill and Rose. Oh, that sounds good to me. Chills be running up your spine if I was real good, you know. Or if I was dealing with whatever it is that, you know, everybody's all caught up with. Everybody be listening enraptured. And there would be no problem. You wouldn't be thinking about other things. Nothing would be interfering. You'd be on the edge yourself. You know how it is. Reading a book, magazine, doesn't matter what it is. It could be a comic book, and we're absolutely engrossed in it. A parts catalog. Say it in so, Sammy. A J.C. Whitney catalog. Man, this is good stuff. In the state. Read the fine print. When it comes to the Word of God, life or death, heaven, judgment or justification. It's the hardest thing on earth to do today. But some, by God's grace, they hear it. Let me ask you now, if you, up to this point, have heard preaching, you've heard it, and you think, if you examine yourself and say, you know, this gospel really hasn't had an effect on me. I see it had an effect on everybody else, but, and I've heard it over and over again, but it really hasn't touched my heart. Let me give you some real good advice, okay? If your life depends on it, you better be asking someone. Put that word in your heart. Alright, there's only one that can do it. I can't do it. But he can. He must. He must apply that word. You look at so-and-so, and they always seem so touched by it, but I'm not touched by it. Who touched him? There was a time when he wasn't touched. There was a time when he sat there and heard message after message, and no effect. And he left, and he forgot everything he heard. But now, who did it? He didn't do it. Somebody else did it. If he did it for him, he did it for you. Ask him. Now here's the next ground that fell on. Verse 5. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. Had a little bit. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Stony ground. All right? You have any of this where you live, stony? That's funny, isn't it? That's why they call this rocky mounds. Stony ground. You go out there and I was putting up a fence over in there. There's a rock every square inch of this place, isn't there? You stick your shovel anyway. Well, stony ground now doesn't have much earth. There'd be a rock. There can be a huge rock area and a little bit of earth on top of it. An inch of soil on top of it. And the right conditions and all, you can throw some seed out there and get a little moisture and the sunshine. It's the first to come up. Spring up quickly. Why? Because you have not much earth. Now, this is a lesson. The Word of God now. It's not. Now, when God works on somebody, it's known. Whenever the Word actually touches somebody, it's known. But it's not the first time they hear it. Maybe even the second time, or even the third time. But that seed is sown. It goes down in there, and according to God's wisdom, the cost account, and so forth and so on. But it's not one of these fly-by-night, overnight professions of faith under emotional appeal. See what I'm saying? That you see so much of. Look at verse 6. It says, when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no roots. Sun came up. Now, it sprung up, that seed. It grew, but not very tall. And when the sun came out, it budded up, withered away, because there was no root in it. All right, look at verse 16. He explains this. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but it had no root in themselves. Root? What's root? That's Christ. Christ said, I am the vine. The root of David. Huh? We don't. They had no root sown on stony ground, and endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. Affliction. That's what the sun represents. Affliction and persecution arises. Now, I've seen many, many of these healers. Many. Countless persons who hear the true preaching and say, and I've had them say this to me on the way out the door after it was over. That's the greatest message I've ever heard. I remember one woman came and sat, and she was all smiles and listening and raptly and intently, just seemed to enjoy what she was hearing, rejoice in it, and met me at the door, and she just was, goodness, that's the greatest message I ever heard. I've never seen her again. It must not have been that way. If you ate some food, and it was the greatest food you ever tasted, I'm going to ask you, would you go back to that restaurant? Would you go tell other people about, oh, you've got to come to the Sam's Bar and Sam's Club? It's wonderful. Oh, man, I'm going back there. You want to come with me? It's great food. It's what I've been looking for.
Countless persons I've heard that, really, especially at funerals. You had a lot of funerals. You know, when people attend a Sovereign Grace funeral, when people go to a funeral of a believer, and they hear a man stand up and proclaim the truth, and see that God's people, his family or her family, not weeping and wailing and sorrowing as those who have no hope, but actually smiling and rejoicing and amening like it's a worship service. The world goes, what's going on here? It's supposed to be a funeral. Now, they're praising God here. And a man up there is not trying to get anybody saved. He's just, what is this all about? I've heard funeral directors say to my pastor, I'm coming to your service next Sunday. Because they've seen these idiot, tear-jerking fellows, you know. And all the wailing, weeping, all that stuff going on. Yeah. But then when a man stands up and declares the truth, and the people aren't, you know, carrying on like fools, and everybody, they can't help but say there's something different here. Something to this. Something solid, something real. Something true about this. I've seen this facade on this religion, but something about this. And I've heard them say verbatim, that's the best I've ever heard. I've heard even more people, you know, seem to be really excited over the doctrines of grace. The doctrines of grace. Like a new toy, somebody comes along. When somebody comes across. A new toy. Doctrines of grace. I never heard that. Ooh, I like that. The people, it's not excitement, it's not enthusiasm over doctrine. This is what needs to happen. Humility. You see, what the truth does first to a person is not open their mouth, but shuts it. The truth doesn't first lift the head and the hands and all that, but it bows the head. The truth does not first fill the heart with joy and praise and glad. It does, but not first. At first, it breaks the heart. The truth does not at first make a person feel good, but the truth at first makes them feel real rotten and real bad. Doesn't fill a person. Jesus, all the way. That's a stony ground here. Roots go deep, don't they? Roots go deep. And this thing of salvation goes deep. How far? To the inner man. That's where it starts. Roots go first, don't they? If the root's there, it will spring up. It will come out. If the root's there, this will open. Eventually, it's got to. If it's in the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, you've got to say it. And, you know, it will come up. It will come up. Yes, it will. And the heart, that broken heart, will be healed. It will start rejoicing. But not first. Now, I don't look for that excitement, enthusiasm over doctrine and all that. I look for humility, brokenness, shut mouthedness. Is that a word? Shut mouthedness. Contrition, contrite heart, a heart touched by the word of God, a guilty sinner. That's what I'm looking for, a guilty sinners. And say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then I've got good news for them. In chapter 8, it goes on, there's therefore now no condemnation. Stony ground hearers won't last. This affliction and persecution, the sun, and I had many verses to look at, don't have time. Our Lord said many things. Now look at this. Do you want you to see, though? It says in verse 17. Look at it. It said, affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. You see that? The word's sake. The word's sake. God's word's sake. Truth's sake. This is the affliction and the persecution. This is not talking about trials and sickness and trouble. This is talking about affliction and persecution for the truth's sake. You see that? And we dealt with this a little bit this morning about family. The word's sake. All right? There are many things, and I was going to read to it, but just let me paraphrase it. But when Gospel of John, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 10, had a lot of verses written. Our Lord said many things, things like this. You're from beneath, I'm from above. That which is flesh is flesh. He said, if you believe not that I am, you're going to die in your sin. I and the Father are one. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man, said Christ. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. He said, the Son, you're of your Father the devil. I thought everybody's son of God. I thought everybody was God's children. No, sir. Jesus Christ said, the Son, you're of your Father the devil, and the works of your Father, that's what you believe. They that are of God, he said, a marked difference. There's devil's children and God's children. They that are of God hear God's words. He says, why did you hear what I'm saying? He said to the Son, why is it that you cannot understand my speech? It's because you cannot hear my word, he said. And that's why he said, I said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him. It's by sovereign grace. That's what he said. And you know it says in that very chapter 8, that many said, this, we can't hear this. We don't like what you're saying. Well, that's the word of God. But they said, we don't like it. We're not going to walk anymore with you. And they turned from it. Why? See, the word's sake. Didn't like the word. Look at John 17. I do want you to go there. John 17. The word of God that speaks of his holiness, his justice, his sovereignty, his sovereign mercy, his sovereign grace, his electing grace, his predestinating grace, his particular discriminating grace. This is the word of God from start to finish. And it's offensive. It's offensive to the natural man, to the proud man. It's offensive. And all who believe the truth, all who just say the word, will have people hate them for it. Every prophet was killed. Why? Truth, the word said. Every apostle except John was killed, and he was put on an island to keep his mouth shut. The early church fathers, and they blackballed the preachers of the truth now. They don't want anybody to hear them. John 17, our Lord said this in verse 2. He's praying to the Father. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Oh, I wish I had another hour to preach. Preach right here for an hour. God has given Christ power over all flesh. That he, Christ, should give eternal life. That he does the giving. Eternal life, salvation. To whoever lets him. No, sir. To as many as God has given him. I don't like that. That's the word of God. And if you just say that, like I just said it, somebody will hate you for it. We'll be offended. But we don't. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Now they say out there, Jesus has done all he can do. Now it's up to him. He said, I have finished. Didn't he? Oh, I can't say it loud enough. The word of God, Jesus, God said, it's finished. That means there's nothing left to do. I don't like that. Then you're not of God. He that's of God heareth God's word. There's some people sitting here right now, listen, that with smiles on your face. It's all you can do to keep from saying. I don't know how you can keep from saying. I can't. I'm screaming. But there's some people out there hear this very thing and gritting their teeth and saying, "Oh, I hate that." What's that? It's finally yours. You're offended. Persecution, affliction, people, you know, people that come and hear it and so forth, and they go home, and, "Oh, I've heard this," and they tell what, "Here's the tape," and their relatives and their friends hear it and say, "You know what your preacher said? He said God elected a people for the world again. That's what you..." "Well, yeah, I mean, that's what the Bible says, doesn't it?" "Well, no, we don't believe that. Your grandmother never believed that. We didn't teach you that." "Well, we don't believe that's what it said. You believe that, Jeannie? You believe that?" "Well, no, I don't think so." "Well, then don't you go back there. He's telling a lie. His daddy says so, his grandmother says so. It's a lie. It's all a lie." He said, "What's in the way?" "Well, it's a lie." "Okay," he said. "Nobody believes that. Ain't nobody anyway believes what that preacher's saying." Persecution and affliction for the truth's sake. Well, look at the next type, verse 18 and 19, in our text. Verse 18 and 19. "These are they the sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches," these are thorns, "and the lust of other things, desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world." I once said this about a man named Demas one time. A fellow named Demas who followed him around a good bit. He was a member of a so-called church. He said this. Paul finally said this of Demas. He said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas has forsaken the gospel because he got a better job in another city. There's no gospel there. He thinks he's going to find it, but it's not there. You see, you've got to go where the gospel is. "Demas has forsaken me." He loves this present world. His wife doesn't like this gospel, so in order to keep peace at home, he stays at home. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He got a promotion. There was a young man in this congregation, and I got to use the illustration. I've got to use it. I wish he was sitting here right now. He attended here for some time, and in the space of just a few weeks, he got a new car, a new house, and a job, new job, and he left the gospel. Thorny ground. Here. He heard message after message. I think he may have even made a profession of faith. I believe he did. Where is he? He loves this world. That's where he is. He's moving up the ladder. But it ain't Jacob's ladder. You know what Jacob's ladder is? Well, there's bound to be that type in here this morning. Read on. Here's the last. Here's the last ground. "But," he said, verse 20, "these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word," they hear it, "and receive it, and bring forth fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, some hundred." They hear it, I mean they hear it. Now what is good ground? Well, I had a good heart, so I heard, oh, come on. That's bad ground. He might say, I got a good heart. That's bad ground. That's not a good heart. Here's a good heart. I got a bad heart. You know what good ground is? Fallow ground is? You know what real good ground is? Black. The black little soil above it. And didn't it? Plowed up. Didn't it? Just plowed, just torn little pieces. That's the best ground it is. Black, the blacker it is, the better. The more torn up it is, the better it is. Isn't that right? It's a good hearer. There ain't no good in me. Hey, you're hearing something, aren't you? Oh, I'm a sinner. I need mercy. Well, you heard something. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, that's exactly what the Word says. I can't seem to do anything. I need grace. Sounds like the seed being sown to me. If God doesn't have mercy on me, I'm a goner. Sound like a tore up heart to me. Only God can plow a heart like that. That's what good ground is. A broken heart. A broken heart, broken by the Word, and receives it. You see, plowed up ground, hard ground, it can rain. I've got ground out there at the farm now that's hard ground, and it can rain all it will. And there's not a drop of it's going to penetrate it. Right? And there's stony ground out there. The little spring up, but the sun comes out, and it won't last. It'll be gone. Thorny ground out there, and weeds will choke it away, and there's no grass there. But oh, good ground, it just soaks it, soaks it, soaks it, soaks it. Soaks it. Every rain's the best one. It soaks it up. Hears it, receives it, receives it, receives it, receives it. Doesn't argue, but receives it, receives it. I like that. Keep going. More. Receives it, receives it. And it says, brings it. Now here's a good word, folks. This fruit here, verse 20, this fruit is many things. Love, fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, love, joy, love. This good heart loves God as God. And man stands up and declares God as God. good heart, just keep going, preacher. You can't declare God holy enough and sovereign enough for a good heart. You cannot declare God sovereign enough for a good prepared heart. Can't do it. You can't declare man low enough and no good enough for a prepared heart. God loves his people. Loves the gospel. Joy. Love, joy, peace. Whenever Christ finally reveals to a sinner, buddy, it's not you, it's nothing in you, that I've done it all for you. I've done it all for you. I've forgiven you everything. I will forgive everything. I've done everything for you. And you don't, it's done. Woo! Man, the peace, it's a peace that Christ gives that nobody's going to take away from us. Nobody. So, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Turns a wild ass is cold into a gentle man. Fruit and faith, and he said, and it's different degrees. You notice how it said some 30, some 60, some 100. That means that we're not the same, that God doesn't give the same amount of grace or faith. He gives the same kind of faith. You understand? He gives the same kind of faith. It's in the same truth. It's in the same Christ, but not the same degree. A young plant doesn't have, as much fruit as an older one does. A young believer is not going to have the understanding and so forth that an older one has. not going to do it. And degrees up. So don't despair if you can just find right here a car and that'll stop. Don't despair. Because it will grow and increase, he said. It will increase. If life is there, it's got to grow. It's got to grow. And here's a good word, too. Growth and grace like an old stalk of corn. What does corn do when the heavier the ears of corn get? And maybe a wind can come along. You've seen a whole field of corn and high winds come along. It can be laying flat on the ground. And it's dead. It's burned. It's been wiped out. No, sir. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Four types of hitters. Which are you? What's your year? All right. Hope the Lord plants the seed, makes good ground. All right, 168. Let's sing in closing. Hymn number 168. I want everybody here who's got a bulletin to take it and read it. Okay? All right, 168. Let's sing verses 1, 3, and 5. 168, stand with me. And the first, third, and fifth verses. Okay, sure.
Lord, I hear of showers of blessing, thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops now fall on me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me.
Third verse.
Ask me not, O mighty Spirit, thou didst make the blind to see. Witness her of Jesus' name, speak the word of power to me. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me.
Last verse.
Ask me not thy lost one bring, bind my heart over to thee. But life a spring, let seen others bless me. Even me, let thy blessing